without ceasing. Will you tell me how you're going to pray without ceasing if you have to be in a church in front of a cross with stained glass windows on your knees, genuflexing? You can't do it that way. How do you pray without ceasing?
This is Straight Talk. This is Mark Job. Good to be with you on Straight Talk once again. You know, I was thinking today that some of the radio listeners, some of you that hear me right now, God is speaking to your heart and trying to get your attention. And I want to just encourage you, if you know God and you've tasted the goodness of the Spirit of God in your life, and you have bowed your knee and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but right now you're sleeping with your girlfriend on the weekends, you're going out to bars, juicing it up, you're stuck in some pornography addiction, you're hanging around with the wrong friends and just not living the way that you know God has called you to live, hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to turn around. It's time to step into your call, because I can guarantee you the way you're living right now, if you're a child of God and have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are one miserable person. You're not happy. And deep inside, you have the conviction of the Holy Spirit letting you know, this is not how I'm supposed to be living. This is not who I am. So today, I want to challenge you through these airwaves and this radio program. I want to challenge you. It's time to turn around. Don't wait another day. Hebrews says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And so I want to challenge you today. You've heard the voice of God through my voice. Do not harden your heart. Listen, repent, turn around.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Today on Straight Talk, we are going to conclude our series called God's Economics, How to Survive Recession, Depression, or Economic Crisis, with the remainder of our message called What to Do with Anxiety. We'll be continuing on in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Here's Pastor Mark.
When I was young, I grew up in Europe and we had a little car. It was called a Morris. It was made by a German manufacturer. And its cousin, so to speak, was the Mini Morris, a real small vehicle. And this was a well-built machine, and it could comfortably seat five people. We had a lot of events, so my dad would pack the car, and we would have 9, 10 people in this car that was engineered to seat five people. I mean, we would double pack them in the back, you know, two people on laps, people hanging out of the window. I mean, it was crammed up in the front, only two seats. We'd fit three or four. And that car took such a toll that after a while of driving like that, the suspension was completely done. I mean, it was like, you know, every bump you would feel it through your whole system. Why? Not because it was a bad car. The car was engineered right. Someone could say, hey, this car wasn't built right. What's up with this car? No, the car was a good car, but the car was not meant to be used with 10 people in it. It breaks down the system. God has built you well. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, you are well engineered. You've been created by God to be able to function at a healthy level of productivity, a healthy level of joy in your life, healthy mentally, physically, and spiritually. But when you overload your system with things that you were never meant and intended to carry, then you will begin to break down. And some of you have experienced that breakdown in your life. Some of you have experienced that breakdown so that it gives way to escapism. And some of you were so overwhelmed by anxiety and fear about things that you developed some compulsive addictive behavior. And you realize that because of anxiety, you were worried about things after work. You were so stressed about your job. You said, I need a little release of my pressures. You go down to the local bar and have one too many Bud Light beers and walk out a little boozed and juiced. And after a while, you discover that you couldn't function through the day without getting a little boozed on it. And pretty soon, before you know it, you're spending a lot of money doing things that you don't want to do. And the doctor says, hey, I think I'm concerned about your liver. And now you have cirrhosis of the liver. Why? Because your mentality. mentality was wrong and you found a way of escapism. Others of you have done other things. You get concerned about things. You need a little release, a little escape. And so those casinos sound really good to you and you think I can make a little money. I don't know anybody that's ever told me I've done really well at the casinos. Everybody who I know that wants to go there usually ends up paying a lot more than they get out. Listen, the casinos would go out of business if they weren't making money. Others of you say, well, you know, you get under stress, and as soon as you get under stress and anxiety in your life, you know, you start thinking of chocolate. I just need a piece of chocolate now somewhere, a delicatessen, and you eat your way out of anxiety. Why? Because your body was never meant to deal with anxiety. So you say, well, Pastor, what do I do when I get anxious? I don't know how to combat it. I don't want to be anxious, but it overwhelms me and it gets a grip on my life. In fact, some of you, if we were to be honest in this place and I were to do a survey and say, how many of you have been so anxious at times that you are overcome with panic attacks? Don't raise your hand, but I believe that there would be quite a few people, because panic attacks, the level of panic attacks in our nation has increased exponentially over the last few years, of so many people that come under this overwhelming sense of anxiety where their heart is palpitating, where they don't know what's happening, they can't control it, and many doctors believe that it's the fear of fear itself that induces this overwhelming racing of the heart, going up the blood pressure, not knowing how to handle it, and it overwhelms your system and you become overwhelmed with fear. What do you do with it? You say, well, I want to obey God. God says, don't be anxious, but I get anxious. I'm not sure how to combat anxiety. Well, I believe that in the next couple of verses, the Apostle Paul gives us a recipe to combat anxiety when it begins to overtake your system. Look at what he says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. So don't be anxious about anything, but in everything he tells us how to practice. He says this: by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So the very first thing he says, when you start feeling the stress of anxiety, he says the very first thing you need to do is pray. You say, well, Pastor, I knew you were going to say that. That's just too easy. I say, pray. I've tried to pray, and it doesn't work. I was so worried, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I was done, and I was still worried. So I don't know. I'm trying to pray, but it's not working for me. Well, let me tell you why. Because it doesn't just tell us to pray in this passage, it defines how we are to pray. I believe some of us are praying and we're ending up worse because we're praying the wrong way. How many of you know you can pray and pray wrong? Just because you pray doesn't mean you're praying the right way. Sometimes you can pray and do it all wrong. In James, it tells us you pray and you have not because you pray wrong. The Apostle Paul is telling us you're praying, but this is how you are to pray. Notice what he says, and he gives us three ingredients to our prayer. These three ingredients, it's stress-relieving prayer. Stress-relieving prayer, okay? You have to pray in a certain way when anxiety is coming over you and stress is overcoming you. There's a certain way you need to pray in order for this really to take hold. Notice what he says. Number one, he says, by prayer, obviously you have to engage in prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. It's not talking to yourself. It's not a mental conversation. You know, I know a lot of people that talk to themselves. Prayer is not talking to yourself. Prayer is actually addressing the God of the universe that is sovereign, that exists, that is in spirit form, that you are connecting with via your faith, speaking to God Almighty through the Holy Spirit, via Jesus Christ the mediator, and you are speaking to God in faith so that it connects with the God of the universe outside of yourself, and you're speaking to God without a lot of formality. In fact, the Bible tells us this: those of you that are used to a lot of formality and think you need to be in a church, or you need to be in front of a cross, or you need to be kneeling, here's what the Bible says. In another passage, it says, pray without ceasing. Will you tell me how you're going to pray without ceasing if you have to be in a church in front of a cross with stained glass windows on your knees, genuflexing? You can't do it that way. How do you pray without ceasing? To pray without ceasing means that you're in this ongoing, constant conversation with God. And when you get up in the morning, you say, "Good morning, God. It's great to be here. Great to love you, Lord." As you get in the car, start driving, say, "Lord, I'm praying for a good day. Hope my attitude's a good day." As you get to work, say, "Lord, you know that co-worker that really aggravates me? Lord, I pray gentleness into my spirit. You know that boss that's really on my case? Oh, Lord, I pray, give me just let it slide off me." As you're going throughout the day, you pause and you thank God for before you eat a meal. You say, "Thank you, Lord. You are my provider, and I bless you." So you're in this constant conversation with God. And by the way, to pray, you don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to kneel. You don't have to do that. You can pray in your head. You can pray verbally. You can pray. If you're driving your car, please don't pray with your hands up in the air and your eyes closed, because, you know, this could be a recipe for disaster. I pray in my car all the time, and I don't close my eyes. I don't raise my hands. Sometimes with my kids, I'm joking and say, "I'm going to pray." But no, don't raise your hands. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray while you're walking. You can pray at any time. The Bible says pray without ceasing, this constant conversation with God. So you engage in a conversation with God, and then it says with prayer and petition. This word petition here means that you are specifically invoking God about a particular topic. You are being specific, not generic about it, but you are specifically saying, "God, my teenage son who's in the middle of a difficult time, I'm invoking you and calling upon you for a breakthrough in his life. God, my job situation right now, I'm praying my financial situation right now specifically that you would help me have a breakthrough in this to be able to pay my bills, supply the needs of my family, give generously to the kingdom of God, and have abundance overflowing to help out. God, I'm praying specifically about that." So you pray, you get specific about your prayer before God, and then many of us do that, but here is the missing ingredient that I believe releases the stress-busting prayer that generates a supernatural, divine release from the heaven into our soul that is able to guard our soul against anxiety. It's called the peace of God. But it doesn't come unless we have the third ingredient. Look at the third ingredient. It says, by prayer and petition with what? With what? Thanksgiving. Then present your request before God. Wait a second, Pastor. What does that mean? Oh, you see, this is the ingredient. This is the ingredient that elevates your prayers before God when they're burdened down by stress. This is what makes a difference between the prayer that doesn't work when you're stressed out and the prayer that does work. Because what Thanksgiving does is Thanksgiving begins to cut the weight of your prayer and the faith and allows your prayer to rise into the heaven and go from a moan and groan session to a power-filled release and faith session.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called What to Do with Anxiety, which is from Pastor Mark's brand new series called God's Economics, How to Survive Recession, Depression, or Economic Crisis. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Our Straight Talk message is called What to Do with Anxiety.
Let me illustrate. A person is praying for their job situation. And some of you pray like this: "Oh God, they're going to let me go. oh, Lord, I can't, if they let me go, I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to have to lose my car and all the neighbors. I work so hard for this, I'm going to lose my savings. And then my kid who's going to this good school is going to be kicked out of that school. And I'm going to have to get another job and not be able to spend time with my family. My marriage is already stressed out enough. If this happens, God, my marriage is going to fall apart. My kids are going to go to schools that are not good. It's going to be stressful. My family's going to fall apart. My house is going to fall apart. I'm going to end up in a soup line and have to move in with my mother. Oh, God, or worse than that, my mother-in-law. Oh, Lord, help me. I envision my defeated future. And that's how you pray. And after 20 minutes of that, you're done praying and you say, in Jesus' name, amen. And you say, Pastor, it's not working. I prayed and I feel bad. I feel worse. Whoa, 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 whoa. You didn't pray God's way. You prayed in a moany, groany, fear-filled manner. This is what God says. Pray. Dear Lord, here I am. Petition. God, I'm praying for my job. I know if this job goes through, you got another better job for me. I need a job that can pay my bills, give enough money for me and my family, and leftover and abundance to give beyond, because I know that's your will for my life. So I pray specifically in Jesus' name, in faith, that you will open up the doors. Oh, and by the way, God, I want to bless you because you are sovereign and Jehovah Jireh, the God that supplies all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And I thank you that you are the master of the economy, and I thank you that you open the doors and you give me the ability to make wealth and spend wealth. I thank you that you are sovereign over all things. I thank you that my boss is not my God, but you are my God. I thank you, Father, that if everything goes belly up, you're still on top of everything, God. And I thank you for that because nothing can dethrone you. I thank you, Lord, that you promise to provide all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And I bless you, God. That is a thanksgiving prayer. You're requesting, but you're thanking. And here's what God is doing. God is making you with thanksgiving. He says, present your request to God with thanksgiving. You're forced to focus on the goodness of God. You're forced to focus on how powerful he is and what God can do. It causes you to get your mind out of the gutter and put your mind into the heavens. It causes you to go from looking downward to looking upward. It causes you to get out of the valley of self-pity and start climbing the mountain of faith where God is. It causes you to pray in a different way. That's how God wants you to pray. And some of us aren't praying that way. With thanksgiving. Well, it's hard to pray with thanksgiving when you're full of anxiety, isn't it? It's the opposite. Thanksgiving is the opposite of anxiety. Anxiety focuses on what could go wrong and speaks it out. Thanksgiving focuses on what is right and speaks it out. And God is saying, I want you to do that with thanksgiving. And here's what happens. Here's the promise of God. Oh, I wish I was a good preacher because you'd get this really well. Hear me well. Hear me well. This is what happens. When you pray this way, listen, verse 7, and the peace of God. The peace of who? Of God. Not your self-induced, self-engineered, self-talked through peace. Not looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, you're going to be okay, handsome. You're going to be all right. Don't worry. No, it's going to be okay. All right. Go get him, tiger. No. It's none of this self-talk in the mirror stuff. No. That's not what we're talking about. It's not say, okay, breathe deeply. Just say three times, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. No. That's self-induced stuff. This is not your peace. This is the peace of God. This is peace that comes from the throne room, the inner court of the heavenly of heavenlies. This is divine, supernatural, powerful, omnipotent, godly peace that comes engineered in the factory of heaven, and it comes via faith. It's deposited in your heart. From the throne room of God, the same place that grace comes from and supernatural love comes from and salvation comes from and deliverance comes from and healing comes from. That same throne room of grace, that peace of God that it says passes understanding. It's incomprehensible. You cannot take it and diagnose it and cut it up and say, I know where this comes from. It surpasses your comprehension. The peace of God that surpasses your intellectual comprehension will come and be deposited in your heart, and the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Okay, I want you to hear me. The peace of God is waiting to be released, but it will not be released unless we pray in a thanksgiving, faith-filled manner. The peace of God is there to be released. When we pray in this faith-filled manner, then the doors of heaven open and the peace of God is released into our heart. And here's what it says. If you look into the Greek language here, you will realize that the Apostle Paul is using military language. He's using military terminology to describe what the peace of God does. He says, but the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard. That word guard there is a Greek word that means will patrol. A couple years ago, I was able to go. We had a layover. I was on my way to Spain to speak, and I was with some people, including my wife and my kids. And I said, let's do a layover in London. So we had about a six-hour layover in London, and we took the they call it the tube there, but it's really like the metro. We took it into downtown London and went to Buckingham Palace. And Buckingham Palace is, you know, it's the where Queen Elizabeth, that's sort of her official place. And there's some guards there with these big, tall black hats and red uniforms, and they patrol. And every so often they change patrols and they kind of march back and forth like this. And supposedly you can't distract them. And they patrol the palace. They're on patrol. They walk back and forth. They're making sure that no one gets close to the palace because they're guarding something precious inside of the palace. And if you try to get close to them, you may lose your life because they're on patrol. It's their job not to let anything unauthorized enter into that facility. The peace of God, released by your prayer as you pray, God releases his peace into your life, and he sets up a patrol around your heart and around your mind called the patrol of God. It's peace of God patrol. And the peace of God begins to patrol around your emotions and around your intellect. And when there's an anxious-filled thought that tries to infiltrate your heart and mind, the peace of God says, halt! You're not allowed in this place. It's under the guard of the peace of God. The peace of God sets a patrol so that when anxiety tries to fill your emotions and tries to fill your heart, the peace of God is preventative in keeping those thoughts out of your heart and mind through the supernatural power of Christ Jesus. That's why I've seen it, I've felt it, I've lived it. I've been at the bedside of people that should be shivering in their boots because of some operation they're going to have, and they've prayed this way, and I say, are you doing okay? And they'll say to me, I can't explain it, I can't tell you why, but right now I have this incredible peace. Peace of God. And people are saying, well, I think you're in denial. No denial here, it's peace of God. Well, do you understand you're going through an operation? You could use their life. They're going to open up your heart. You know, they're going to be doing. Yeah, I understand that. Peace of God. Peace of God. Supernatural. Can I understand it? It's deposited. And you practice this kind of prayer because you need to keep the peace of God. One last element here, and I'm going to close with this. Some of you have done this and you've maintained your peace temporarily. But there are some of you that go in and out of peace. You have your peace for a little while. Then suddenly you say, I don't know what happened. I lost my peace. I had it and I lost it. Feels like a slippery fish. When you catch it, you try to hang on to it. Boof, it went out. I don't know how to keep it. You say, I get it and I lose it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I get it, but I lose it. Keep it for a while and then boom, slips out of my hand. Well, let me tell you the last piece of advice that the Apostle Paul gives us. The entrance of anxiety and stress into your life is via, listen to me well, the main entrance is not your circumstances. Because you can have two people in the same circumstances, and one could be chewing their fingernails and jittering with anxiety, and the other can be totally at peace. It's not your circumstances. Listen, the entrance, the gateway of anxiety and stress in your life is via your thoughts. guard your thoughts, you'll guard your heart.
This has been the conclusion of our message called What to Do with Anxiety, and it's also the conclusion of our series, which was called God's Economics, How to Survive Recession, Depression, or Economic Crisis. We hope that this series has been an encouragement to you. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. We hope that you enjoyed this broadcast, and we ask that you join us again for our brand new series, Joy is a Choice. Thanks again for listening. Please do tell a friend about our Straight Talk program, and on behalf of Pastor Mark and our Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening. God bless.